علي صل وسلم دائما أبدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. And dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our program in which we shall be, inshallah, be hearing about the biography, the life, the seerah of the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The beloved of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa sallam, has stated that the individual who recites Durood Sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall send upon him 10 blessings. Man salla alayya salatan wahida, he who sends one salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then sallallahu alayhi ashran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall send 10 blessings upon that individual. Let's make it a habit of ours to regularly send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now inshallah today, we shall be continuing with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've come to the approximate age of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now about 50 Madani viewers of Madani Channel, because he received the first revelation at the age of 40, and now we are in the 10th year after the first revelation. We have recently heard that Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had died, my dear viewers, and sadly he also died as a non-Muslim. But this hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever so much, my dear viewers. But then it continued. Why? Because another individual from amongst the first people that had accepted Islam, you know, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in terms of who was the first to accept Islam, he grants harmony between these individuals. Some people would say Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was the first. Some say Khadijat al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha was the first. Some say Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu al-Kareem was the first. So Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radhiyallahu anhu, he states that the first adult man to accept Islam was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The first woman to have accepted Islam was Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. The first child to accept Islam was Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu al-Kareem. The first slave was Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So now one of these individuals, that person who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had married at the age of 25, none other than Umm al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, now she also leaves this world for the eternal abode. She was the most beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. And really, especially, this is coming a little off topic, but if you wish to learn about love, you can learn it from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and especially how Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam had loved Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. She was at the approximate age of 65 when she passed away, my dear viewers. It has been stated that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, when Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, when she was extremely ill, when she was on the brinks of passing away, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, it has been stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he himself at'amaha min 'inab al-jannah, that he fed Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha from the foods of Jannah, the grapes, the inab, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. He fed Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha the grapes of Jannah. And it said that she was buried in Hujun, and before burying her, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he himself took part, Madi viewers, and in fact it's mentioned he even lay down in the grave and he prayed for her. Similarly, it has been stated, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was that individual who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent salam to. Imagine this. The one who is the giver of salam, the one who is salam himself, he sends salam to Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra. It has been stated, this is also in Sahih al-Bukhari, that once Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, this is narrated by An Abi Huraira, faqal, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam once said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha is coming to you. He is stating to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, your beloved wife, is coming to you and she is coming with food or with drink. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, send salam to her from her Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending her salam. وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ مِنْ قَصَبٍ Allahu Akbar. لَا صَخَبَ فِيهِ وَلَا نَصَبٍ And give her the good news of a house in Jannah. Of a house, my dear viewers, a palace in Jannah. Such a house in which there shall be no fatigue, in which there shall be no noise. Allahu Akbar. They have also been granted, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was also granted the good news of Jannah, but something that nothing, Allahu Akbar, and I've only heard it for Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent her salam. And in fact, it's mentioned that when she replies to the salam, it's beautiful how she replies. She says, Inna Allaha huwa salam. And it shows her knowledge that she replies, not wa alaykum as-salam, but that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is salam. Wa alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala Jibreel. And also salam upon you ya Rasulullah and upon Hazrat Jibreel. It has been mentioned in regards to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, and this hadith sharif is in Sahih Muslim. She states, it said that once Hazrat Hala, the sister of Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, that she once came and she asked permission to enter. Subhanallah, she once came to the grand court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And when she came and asked permission from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then what happened? Allahu Akbar. He said that immediately Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had recognized her voice and it reminded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, and he became happy. He was comforted by that voice, my dear viewers. فَقَالَ And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stated, Allahumma hala binti Khuwaylid. Allahu Akbar. That Ya Allah, this is Hala, the daughter of Khuwaylid. And then Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she says that why is it that you remember a old woman from the Quraysh? And she, subhanAllah, she describes Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. But my dear viewers, when you love somebody, then not only do you love that person, but you also love anything associated to them. You also love anything that reminds you of that person. You love that too, my dear viewers. It said about Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, honestly, the love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed, is mentioned that after the Battle of Badr, when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam had taken the prisoners of war, the 70 prisoners were taken. And from amongst those prisoners, one individual was Abul As ibn Hala. It was Abul As who was the son of the same Hala Madivi was, meaning the sister of Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra. Abul As, he had married the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Zainab radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when he was taken prisoner, remember, this is who he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was taken prisoner, at war after the Battle of Badr, my dear viewers, then they had to pay the money for, in order to be freed. For freedom, they had to pay a ransom, my dear viewers. Now, what was the ransom that Abu al-As paid? It has been stated that Zainab, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she sent a necklace in order to give the ransom, my dear viewers, as ransom for her husband, Abu al-As. This was the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and her husband was taken, was a prisoner of war after the Battle of Badr, and she sent for ransom a necklace. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw this necklace, he said that tears began to well up from his eyes. That tears began to flow from the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he remembered that this is that necklace which Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, when their daughter Hazrat Zainab radhiyallahu ta'ala anha was to marry the nephew of Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, Abu al-As ibn Hala, then she gave this as a wedding gift to her own daughter Zainab. And now Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam has seen that this same gift, she was departing from it in order to free her husband. So then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam had freed Abu al-As. Abu al-As, who was the son of Hala, who was the sister of Khadija. And I'm repeating this in order to help you understand and in order for it to sink in. And he freed him, and then he also gifted that same necklace back to his own daughter, Hazrat Zainab radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. My dear viewers, whenever he would remember Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, he would, Allahu Akbar, tears would come still to his eyes. And it's been mentioned that even after her apparent demise, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she would sometimes say that, Ya Rasulullah, and I remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had many wives. And Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she would say that, Ya Rasulullah, who was your most beloved? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say Hazrat Khadija. And it's mentioned that upon the Fath Makkah, an 8th year after Hijri, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had opened Al-Makkah Al-Mukarrama, then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he had no home in Al-Makkah Al-Mukarrama. So the companions asked, Ya Rasulullah, where will he be staying? You know, some said stay at our house, others were wishing for him to stay at their house. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a tent erected in Harjum. The reason being, because this is where the house of Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha was. For those wishing to learn about love, they can learn about love from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. But sadly, my dear viewers, this same beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had also left this world for the eternal abode. And it has been mentioned for this reason, this was the 10th year, my dear viewers, the 10th year after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was granted the first revelation, not the 10th year after Hijri. But yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, and for this reason he named this year, he named it as Amul Huzn, the year of sorrow, because he lost his uncle Abu Talib, and then he also lost his beloved wife Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. And the next great, again, it was difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because what you must understand is it was Abu Talib who had granted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asylum, meaning he had granted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam protection. So for this is the reason why nobody would be able to kill Mazala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was protecting him, but they are also the means of the world, my dear viewers. So he was granted asylum by Abu Talib. So if anybody was to attack him, then that tribe, my dear viewers, the Banu Hashim, who he was granted protection by, Abu Talib, whilst he was alive, was the head of, he was the chief, the chieftain of the Banu Hashim. He had granted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam protection. But now, after Abu Talib had passed away, the Prophet ﷺ was no longer granted asylum protection by them. In fact, it is mentioned that Abu Lahab the accursed, he for 1 week, 2 weeks possibly, he had temporarily granted Rasulullah ﷺ asylum, but then he immediately, as quickly as he could, he retracted that. And the reason being was that Abu Jahl, he spoke to him and said, how can you grant him asylum where he goes against our forefathers, he is against the idols, he is against our gods, etc., etc. So now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have the protection of any of the tribes, officially Mahdi viewers. The companions would protect him, but the Muslims, many of them had migrated. And the Muslims at that time in Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah were very few Mahdi viewers of Madinah. So, he required a tribe behind him, or a sub-tribe behind him, but nobody had at that time given him protection. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being under the protection of no person, he then is mentioned in order to bring, to continue his work, Mahdi viewers, to bring people towards Islam. Is mentioned that he then goes to Ta'if. And this is where we have the famous incident of Ta'if. In reference to Ta'if, I shall give you a brief introduction of Ta'if itself. It's mentioned that the most fertile of all lands is Al-Madinat Al-Munawwara. Al-Madinat Al-Munawwara is the most fertile of lands. The dates of Al-Madinat Al-Munawwara are the best days and the most luscious, my dear viewers, the most tasty and even the biggest, they were the best dates around. But after Al-Madinat Al-Munawwara, there is another city known as Ta'if. Now this city of Ta'if, many people who will travel on Hajj or Umrah, they may as a ziyarah, they may go and also visit Ta'if. Because for those that have been watching our previous programs, they would know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also spent his childhood in Ta'if, Mahdi viewers. So he has been to Ta'if before. Now, after Al-Madinat Al-Munawwara is said that the most fertile of lands and those which would produce the most dates after Al-Madinat Al-Munawwara was Ta'if. And Ta'if was different from Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah. There was a huge difference. One is that it's a mountainous area. Makkah Sharif itself is mountainous, but Ta'if is much higher, you can say. The altitude is much higher, Mahdi viewers. So there, the weather would be different, the temperature would be different, as it was extremely hot in Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah. In Ta'if, it wasn't so hot. In Ta'if, in fact, it was cool. And Ta'if is actually surrounded by the desert. Within that, you can say within that desert, because these were all desert lands, Mahdi viewers. Within this desert, there was this beautiful place known as Ta'if. And nowadays, it takes about 1.5 hours to 2 hours to travel to Ta'if by coach. It's a lot of uphill, Mahdi viewers. But in them days, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it would take approximately 2 days. Now, in regards to Ta'if, it said that Ta'if was brilliant, the land was fertile, and you would gain fruits there, even today if you were to go. Even today if you were to go to Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah, yes, people sell grapes, but if you were to ask them, the grapes are not of Makkah Sharif themselves, but they are brought in or imported from Ta'if, Mahdi viewers. Because, and these were rare, we wouldn't find grapes in other cities, but we find them in Ta'if. Similarly, the fig, Mahdi viewers, is also a fig which I'm not sure if it is produced in Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah, but the best of them also come from Ta'if. So Ta'if, mashallah, a beautiful city. And similarly, it has been stated within the glorious Quran. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. That people, now there's a difference of opinion as to who this refers to. But Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that in terms of the meaning of this verse is that why was this Quran not revealed upon somebody other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why was it not revealed upon any man from these great two cities. The great two cities is one, they considered Makkah al-Mukarramah to be great, and the second, Ta'if to be great. So this is unanimously accepted that Ta'if, although has not been explicitly mentioned in the Quran, but by min al-qaryatayn, these two cities, one of these cities is al-Makkah al-Mukarramah, the second is Ta'if. In al-Makkah al-Mukarramah, they were the Quraysh. In Ta'if, the tribe was the Thaqif Madiviyas. There was the Banu Thaqif. There was the tribe of Thaqif. And these two tribes, it said, they would always be competing with each other. They would always be at war with each other. Sometimes they would be okay. Sometimes they would be at peace and harmony with each other. But there was always a competition between themselves. There was this animosity, this mutual animosity going on between themselves, my dear viewers. This is a slight introduction to Ta'if. It has been not explicitly mentioned by name, but it has been referred to in the glorious Quran. And within this verse, who are the people that said this? Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala, he states that this refers to that one person from, or the great man from Makkah al-Mukarramah was Abu Jahl, and that the great man from Ta'if was Habib, somebody, some say. That this was Habib ibn Amr. Others state that it was Urwa ibn Mas'ud. Urwa ibn Mas'ud, my dear viewers of the channel, who we shall hear, inshallah, in the future about. We shall hear quite a bit about him in the future, inshallah. But there's a difference of opinion as to who this refers to, and some say that it refers to these people. That out of all people, ma'azallah, they would say, why was the Quran given to Rasulullah? Why was it not given to somebody else? You know, why was it, Abu Jahl says, why was it not given to me? Some say this refers to Walid ibn Mughira, the father of Khalid ibn Walid, who was another great enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes to, after leaving Al-Makkah al-Mukarramah, he has been harmed, he has been hurt, he is mourning, my dear viewers. He then travels to Ta'if in hope of some health. And some state, Imam Zurqani rahimahullah ta'ala, he states in his Sharah, that in the Sharah Zurqani of Al-Mawahib al-Dunya, the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had some family, some distant family in Ta'if. So this could have been one of the possible reasons as to why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam traveled to Ta'if. And as to who he traveled with, Ibn Sa'd radhiyallahu ta'ala an, he states that Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha traveled with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And later we will come to learn that in the 8th year Hijri, during the battle of Mu'ta, my dear viewers, close to the border, Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was martyred. So Hazrat Zayd was martyred, my dear viewers of Madinah channel, not very far later, not very long later. So for this reason, we don't have too much information about the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had spent in Ta'if, but we just have a few ahadiths about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his experience in Ta'if. Some ask as to how long did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spend in Ta'if. It is stated he spent approximately 10 days in Ta'if. And some state it was an entire month. 10 days in the city of Ta'if itself and 20 days around Ta'if, the incidents which occurred. That's all for now. But watch out for our next episode. We will learn the incident of Ta'if, my dear viewers of Madinah channel. That's all for now. We recite the Durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب